All the time. Amen. He is good. Let's always remember to be thankful for what he has done for us, his many blessings in our lives. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 27. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. So thankful that we are here today, gathered together to worship the Lord. You could have been in some other place, but you decided to come and worship the Lord today, to praise his name, to get into his word. We'll look at Luke chapter 9, verse 20, starting with verse 23. Turn to your neighbor, if you will, and say, God needs you. God needs me. To be a risk taker. One more time. God needs you. God needs me. To be a risk taker. Talking about today. Luke 9, starting with verse 23. Then Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, my disciple, to be just like me, you must turn from your selfish ways. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Sacrificially give of yourself and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before you see the kingdom of God. Amen. A few years after the end of the Korean War, the communists in North Korea discovered Pastor Kim and 27 followers of Jesus that he was leading. They were living in tunnels that they had dug out with their own hands. Once the officials discovered these followers of Jesus, they brought them out before a whole village of people, 30,000 people in this village of Guksan. Deny Christ or you will die, they were told, but they refused. Then the head officer called a steamroller to come in, to be brought in. And he forced those Christians, to lie in the path of the steamroller. As its engine revved up, they were given one last chance to deny Jesus Christ, but they refused. And as the steamroller inched forward, they began to sing this hymn, more love to thee, O Christ, more love. Thee alone I seek. More love to thee. Now, I don't know the names of those believers that day who died for their faith in Jesus Christ, but those believers, those brothers and sisters in Christ, that day they embraced risk. And true followers of Jesus always embrace risk. You know, some people embrace risk easier than others. Some people don't want to do risky things. But the reality is that comes with living life. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable. Most likely you woke up this morning in a bed, right? Right? Did you know that every year 5,000 people check into emergency rooms with pillow-related injuries? Pillow-related injuries. Sleeping is possibly a risky venture. After you get out of bed, you probably go to the restroom, the bathroom. Then you should know that 40,000 Americans suffer toilet-related injuries of some kind every year. Can you believe that? Whether you realize it or not, when you use the potty, when you sit on the potty or whatever you want to call it, you're living on the edge. Actually, you're sitting on the edge. Do you drive? Most people here drive if you're of age. Did you know that the U.S. Department of Transportation reports that someone is involved in a car accident every 10 seconds? You may have thought, I'm a pretty cautious person. I don't do things that are going to put me into risky situations. But the truth is, a risky life. We all do. Life is risky. Larry Lauden, a researcher, he spent years assessing risk management, and he wrote a book, and in his book, Danger Ahead, he summarizes his findings into 19 different principles. And guess what the top principle, the number one principle is? Everything is risky. Life is risky. Today I want to ask you, are you a risk taker, or do you like to play it safe? Are you a risk taker, or do you like to play it safe? Honestly, if you are a follower of Jesus, you can't be a follower of Jesus without assuming a certain level of risk. It's always been risky to follow Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, if you follow after me, if you want to be one of my followers, one of my disciples, to be just like me, then you're going to have to count the cost. It's going to require some kind of risk being taken in your life. When Jesus called his first disciples, he called them to take a big risk. In Matthew chapter 4, we look at verses 18 through 22, and it says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee, Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were fishermen, Jesus called out to them, come be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people. And it says they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called out to them to come too. And it says they immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. Now, the men that Jesus called to be his disciples were fishermen. Most of them were fishermen by trade. This wasn't a glorious or a glamorous kind of living, but it was a living. And for most of them, this is probably the only trade that they knew. So when Jesus invited them to follow him, we're told that they left their nets, their boats, and their families behind. This may not sound like a big thing or a big deal to us, but Jesus was calling them to take a huge risk. Jesus was calling them to leave everything that they knew to follow him. The same thing happened to Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Probably by this time, by the time that Jesus called him to be a disciple, to come after him, to follow him, probably Matthew must have accumulated quite a tidy little sum. But Matthew, when Jesus called him, he left his financial security. He gave it all up to follow this poor, homeless Jewish rabbi. It was a very risky proposition. In Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 20, we see Peter was preaching in a city called Lystra. He was there with his traveling companion, Barnabas. And the Lord had actually healed a person. And so the people of this city thought that they were the Greek gods. And so they were going to worship them. And they said, no, don't worship us. Worship the one true God, the one that has healed this man. And they shared the message of Jesus with them on that day. And apparently, they weren't well received after they shared. Because Paul was severely beaten, and he was dragged outside the city gates and left to die. I think a lot of people at that point thought he was really dead, but he wasn't. And when he regained consciousness, guess what he did? He didn't run away, but he went directly back into the city, immediately back into the city to preach again. Many would have said, and many probably would say today, that was one of the most foolish things that he could have done. But to Paul, going back in the city was worth the risk. It really showed how much he loved these people who were living in deep spiritual darkness, who were worshiping other gods. He wanted them to know about Jesus, the one true God, the one who had changed his life, literally changed his life, the one who he had met on the road to Damascus. I want you to know this man named Jesus, who is not only a man, but he is God. He is the one true God. He is the visible God revealed to us. The invisible God revealed to us. And he wanted to share the name of Jesus and the good news about Jesus, even if it meant risking his own life again. You know, sharing Jesus and sharing the love of Jesus isn't a safe thing. And some people will run away from risk. Other people will embrace it. What about you? Chuck Swindoll, the well-known author and pastor, he said, "I've searched the Bible for examples of early believers whose lives are marked by rigidity and predictability and by caution." He said, "For those examples of those who have basically led risk-free lives." He said, "Basically, I haven't found anyone like that." He said, "Instead, I've found passionate, risk-taking, authentic believers." You know, Jesus' disciples didn't choose to follow Jesus and become just like him just for the thrill of it. Being beaten and stoned and left for dead wasn't something that they were looking for. It wasn't on their bucket list. Why did they do it then? Why did they risk everything to follow Jesus? Because they placed their full faith and trust in him. It was all about faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Today I want to ask you a question. How do you spell faith? How do you spell faith? Someone once said that the best way to spell faith is R-I-S-K. Risk, R-I-S-K. Where there is no risk, there is no faith. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says this. He says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen." It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. If you drop down to verse number 6, it says, "So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith." You can say it in this way. So to please God without living a life of risk. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there's a God, that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And if you'll drop down to verse number 8, it says this. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Abraham went without knowing where he was going. Most of us today probably wouldn't do that. God, you're going to have to tell me exactly where you want me to go. I need to know the exact place, the exact time. I need to know the road, how to get there. But is that really living by faith? Many times the Lord calls us to step out, to take a step of faith. And he said, once you take that step of faith, then I'll show you that step, and then that next step, and then I'll show you later on down the road the map on how to get to where I need you to get. Abraham took a risk. He believed by faith, and the Lord blessed Abraham beyond what he could have imagined. We are here today because Abraham took that step of faith. He's called the father of our faith. There's always a certain amount of risk. In fact, a great amount of risk involved in building our lives on the existence of a God that we can't see or touch or feel. So that's where faith comes in. As true followers of Jesus Christ, we know and believe and have seen the evidence that He is real. We've experienced Him in our lives firsthand because we ourselves have taken the... Someone has called faith this, calculated risk. We have taken a calculated risk. We have believed and we have received from the Lord. We have given up everything to passionately follow Him 24/7, 365. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you know what it is to embrace risk because you've experienced that in your life. Our Lord Jesus said in Luke 9:24, He said, if you try to avoid danger and risk, then you're going to lose everything. If you try to avoid danger and risk, then you'll lose everything. But if you let go of your life and risk it all for my sake, then your life will be rescued, healed, made whole, and full. This is exactly the opposite of what the world tells us. As human beings, we have a natural tendency to risk. We're encouraged to have a plan B. We're encouraged to have to save money for a rainy day, to tuck some money away for a rainy day. We're encouraged to have a nice little nest egg waiting for us when we retire. You know, we're trained to be creatures of comfort, to relax in lazy boy chairs and to sleep on select comfort mattresses at night. If we're honest with ourselves, many of us will do whatever it takes to be comfortable. Now, being comfortable isn't bad. It's when you focus on that as your entire focus. Many of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, a large majority, in fact, of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ around the world live so much differently than we do. They know the real consequences, that there are very real consequences for standing up for Jesus Christ, for living a life of risk, a risky faith. They live where faith costs the most. Unfortunately, for some of us, preoccupation with comfort has seeped into our faith. And some people will say, I'll go anywhere, I'll give anything, I'll say anything, as long as there's no risk involved. As long as I have some kind of guarantee that I won't get hurt or rejected, fired or evicted. And many times these believers will say, and by the way, I want a return on my investment. Whatever I give, I want something back from it as well. So I want to ask you the question today, how do you handle risk? More specifically, how do you respond when your faith in Jesus compels you to take a risk? How do you react when the stakes are high, when there's the possibility that you will lose rather than gain? By the way, what's risk anyway? Risk involves the possibility of losing something or exposing yourself to danger in some way. Risk comes in many different forms and shapes and sizes. It could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be relational, it could be physical. Whatever it looks like, how do you handle risk? Do you avoid it? Do you try to explain it away? Or do you embrace risk as a necessary part of your faith in Jesus Christ, as part of your relationship with Him? Let me read this verse one more time. In Luke chapter 9, verse 24, Jesus said, if you try to avoid danger and risk, if you try to play it safe, then you'll lose everything. But if you let go of your life and risk all for my sake, then your life will be rescued, healed, made whole, and full. Risking your life is not only about losing something, possibly, but it's also about giving up something. giving of yourself. You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus who lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit who empowered the believers in the first church, just happens to be the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us now. Yes, 2,000 years have gone by, but the Holy Spirit is the same as He was then. He is God. He is God living inside of us. And the Lord's desire for us is the same as He desired for the believers in that in the first century. He wants us to live radical, revolutionary lives for Him. He wants us to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. He hasn't changed, but we have changed. Perhaps we have settled for a safer faith. For most of us, living a life of risk doesn't mean that we're going to have to lie in front of a steamroller to literally die for Jesus. But it does mean that we're going to have to die to ourselves. And we're going to have to willingly cling to Jesus and His desires for us, even if it means that we lose everything. We all would like to believe that we would be ready to die for our faith if we were required to. But if we're not willing to give up our job or an extra vacation or comfort in some way, then we're probably not going to respond well when the real faith, real risk is required. Paul shared with the believers in the Corinthian church, and he shares with us in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. He said, this is what real faith looks like. And this is how Jesus is reflected in our lives. If you'll look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, and as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. We become more and more like Jesus, and we reflect His glory even more. And then if we'll skip down to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, but this precious treasure, this light and power that shine within us is held in perishable containers, that is, in our weak bodies, so that everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed or broken. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, our bodies, these bodies of ours, constantly share with us so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. What Jesus did among them, He does in us. He lives inside of us. Paul said, our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, which they were, you're getting the very best. Yes, we live in the face of death. We risk our lives, but it's resulted in eternal life for you. What Paul said today in these verses, wouldn't that lead us to believe that life isn't going to be easy? If you've lived life long enough, you know that life doesn't get easier. Things many times get harder. We face many challenges in our lives. Wouldn't it lead us to believe that the Lord will allow us to face some tough times in our lives so that others can see how we'll respond, and hopefully seeing our response, they'll step out in faith, they'll take a risk, and they'll trust in Jesus with their life both now and forever. Let me ask you a question. If American Christians were more active in living out their faith and showing the love of Jesus in real and practical ways and sharing the good news about Him, would the United States see an increase in persecution? And I would say, yes, I believe so. Metro Ministries, an evangelistic ministry that reaches out in some of the most difficult areas in New York City, has seen this effect in their own ministry. As they penetrated deeper and deeper into the deep spiritual darkness and into people's lives, this ministry has faced strong opposition, resistance, and danger. Quite a number of their staff members have been beaten, have been stabbed and abused while they're carrying out their mission. One of their staff members was even killed. Their founder, Pastor Bill Wilson, he's been stabbed and beaten quite a number of times. But he doesn't let the threat of evil keep him away from the people who need to know Jesus. It shows just how much he loves them. He'll do whatever it takes to share the good news and the love of Jesus with those who are living in deep spiritual darkness, no matter what the cost to him. No matter what the risk, he hasn't and he doesn't hold back in showing his love to those in need. He does whatever it takes to meet the real needs of the real people right where he lives. What about you? What about me? Debbie, who's a 15-year-old who lives in one of the poor neighborhoods in Brooklyn, New York, says, "It's very hard to be openly Christian in my school. I'm constantly harassed and pressured to join one of the gangs." But she hasn't given in. Debbie has stood firm in her faith in Jesus Christ. Despite the pressure, despite the hardship, despite the threats, despite the ridicule, despite the rejection, Debbie speaks on the behalf of so many young believers from across the U.S., who have experienced persecution because they've chosen to passionately follow Jesus, to take a risk, to daily live out their lives for Him, to share the good news and the love of Jesus with their fellow students, because they know that they need to hear about Jesus. Jesus will give them real life. If you're a student here today, you may not be pressured to join a gang, but you may find it very difficult to live out your faith in Jesus because you might be labeled a Jesus freak. But I can assure you, whether you're a student or whether you're an adult in the workplace, sooner or later if you live your life for Jesus and you live your faith out openly, if you live your faith out in the open, then you're going to face some kind of challenge in your life. Sooner or later, don't be surprised. Jesus said, "I have called you out of the darkness into the light, into my marvelous light." Jesus said, "You are to be the salt and the light. You are to make people thirsty for me. You are to flavor their lives. You're to bring healing in them. You're to stand up for me in the midst of what's going on in our world. No matter what other people say, you're to be the salt and you're to be the light." Jesus said, "In my kingdom, you're to be countercultural." Not to conform to the culture, but to be countercultural. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, "Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. Don't let the world mold you and shape you into what it wants you to be. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And this is God's will. God's will is to live differently, to act differently, to speak differently. Let me just say this too. You probably have noticed this, but you can talk about God all you want, and basically people are okay with that. But once you mention the name of Jesus, people are going to either love you or they're going to hate you. Speaking about God is okay, but the name of Jesus, and many times you get a quite different reaction. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, he said, "If the world hates you, if the world wants the worst for you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. Makes sense, right? As it is, you don't belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. I have called you out of the darkness. That's why the world hates you. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, he said, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly, set apart, God-honoring, Christ-like, Spirit-led life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Persecution comes with the territory. And I can tell you right now that we're seeing more and more persecution of believers take place in the U.S. Things are getting darker, but in the darkness, the light shines the greatest. So we have to stand up for Jesus no matter what. We have to shine for Him no matter what. No matter what other people are saying or doing. We can't conform to what the world is saying to us. If you want to live life Jesus' way, then you're going to have to be a risk taker. It's not going to be easy, but it's so worth it. Jesus said in Luke 19:26, He said, risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. The world would say, that's ridiculous. But this is what Jesus said was always opposite of what the world says. And so what are we following today? What voices, what are we following? Jesus said in Luke 19:26, He said, risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and you end up holding the bag. You end up with nothing. Some believers are willing to embrace risk, to live out their faith, to put their lives on the line, no matter what the cost, because they know the life-changing impact that will come. And you know what? For some of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that's their mission. Their mission is to put their lives on the line. Their mission is to give up their lives for Jesus so that others can come to know Him. That's the case in Cambodia. When the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia in 1975, thousands of Christians were killed. One day, the Khmer Rouge soldiers, they burst into a room, and they were waving their guns, and they were hurling insults and threats. And that particular day, none of the church members of that small house church moved. An officer came in, and he took the Bible that the pastor was reading from, and he threw it on the ground, and he said, I'll let you go if you'll spit on this book of lies. Anyone who refuses in this room will be shot. Another soldier grabbed a man by the arm and he forced him forward, and the man knelt down and he said, Father, forgive me, and he spat lightly on the Bible. And then the soldier pointed to a woman and forced her to kneel down, and she said, Father, forgive me, and she lightly moistened the Bible, just enough to please the soldiers. And then suddenly a teenage girl stood up and she walked over to the Bible and she tearfully knelt down and she got the hem of her dress and she began to wipe it off. And she said, Father, Lord, what have they done to your word? Please forgive them. And then the soldier lowered his revolver to the back of her head and he squeezed the trigger. Most likely, most of us won't have to live with such risk in our life. We won't have to die for our faith as this young sister in Christ did. But Jesus calls us to die. This may be almost harder, to die every day to ourselves. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be just like me, if you want to be my follower, not just an average Christian, you want to really be like me, to live your life, then Jesus said, these are the requirements. You have to deny yourself. You have to die to yourself. You have to take your cross daily. You have to sacrificially give of yourself. And you have to follow my example. Living for Jesus is not the easiest thing to do, but it's the best thing that will ever happen in our lives. And you know what? It can be done. It's not impossible. Why? Because we have God living inside of us. Jesus is living inside of us right through His Holy Spirit. Jesus empowers us to live this kind of life. To live a life of faith. A life of real, radical, revolutionary faith. Paul encourages us in Galatians verse 20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died to myself. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He said, I've taken the greatest risk in my entire life. I've given myself fully and completely to Him. He said, the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you look at the writings of Paul here in the New Testament, Paul would say, imitate me. He wasn't saying that in any kind of way. He was living this kind of life. He said, it's possible. I have been crucified with Christ. I have died to myself, and I no longer live, but Jesus is my life. And let me tell you, it's the best thing that me. And I'm living passionately for Him. If you choose to live the life of a real risk taker, you're most likely going to face rejection, resistance, and ridicule of some kind. But I want to encourage you, just think of the lives that you'll save from living an eternity without Jesus. I myself have been talking about Jesus too much. I've been accused by some of my family members and even some of my fellow believers in Jesus Christ. But we can't allow what others say or do to keep us from giving to people what they desperately need the most, the gift of Jesus, the gift of real love. Today I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. Will you choose to step out in faith and take a risk and change someone's life forever? Let's bow our heads. Today I want to challenge you. If you're a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to go just beyond what's expected of you. So many believers, they just go through the routine, the ritual. They play the church game, but Jesus called us to so much more. To live our lives passionately for Him. Freely in Him. Jesus said, if you play it safe, you'll lose everything, but if you give of yourself, you'll gain everything. Because when we have Jesus, we have everything. Today I want to encourage you, take a risk and share your love and your faith in Jesus today and every day. Will you speak up and stand up for Jesus each and every day of your life? Will you choose to passionately follow Him 24/7, 365? To live for Him every minute of every day? Will you allow Jesus to possess you, to consume you? You know, Jesus wants to take us on this amazing journey of faith. Will you risk everything to follow Him? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. If you don't, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to urge you. Take a risk and give your life to Jesus today. It's very simple. You say, Jesus, I know that I need You. I can't live my life without You. I need You to forgive me of what I've done against You, of living my life my own way. I believe that You died for me and that You rose again. And Jesus, I want You to be in control of my life both now and forever. Take that risk. Take that step of faith. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same again, and you'll never regret it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear message of your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth. And Lord, may we live by your word. May we live by your truth. May we live fully and completely for you. Lord, today help us to make the decisions that we need to make, to stand up for you or to come to know you. Lord, bless us now as we make those decisions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.